Unexplored Territory podcast. In this episode, we have Bharath Raghuranjan as our guest. Bharath is Vice President of Products at VMware EUC, and in this episode, we're going to talk about the EUC announcements of VMware Explore 2023 in Las Vegas. So welcome to the show, Bharath. We've basically known each other for quite a while now, but for those who don't know you, who is Bharath Raghuranjan? What do you do at VMware? And maybe include a really cool career highlight.
Awesome. First of all, Johan, thanks for having me on this and great to talk to you again. Of course, we saw each other in person a few weeks back and now good to reconnect. So for those who don't know me, as you said, I'm Bharath Raghuranjan and I'm part of the end user computing business leadership at VMware. And I have two roles within this organization. I head up all of our products in end user computing, Workspace ONE and Horizon that most of your audience might be familiar with. And I'm also the general manager of the VDI and desktop as a service business. So that's my role in a nutshell. I've been here about 7 years. Not one specific highlight, but I've been lucky enough to have been part of end user computing in many different facets. I was with WebEx, even pre-SaaS, looking at end user computing from the experience and multimedia and unified collaboration side. I ran Citrix Receiver, so especially on the mobile side, looking at the importance of experience, because virtualization, as you know, typically was an infrastructure play. Hey, how do you bring the end user side? I've been part of MDM and multiple, both at VMware, of course, now in the thick of it, and at Citrix as well, mobile app security. So I've been lucky enough to look at end user computing from experience, security, management, all angles, and it still keeps me excited. So.
Wow. Well, let's talk about a lot of those topics in this episode. So like you mentioned, you are responsible for a lot of products within VMware EUC. And when looking at the entire portfolio, there were a lot of announcements during VMware Explore, right? But let's like focus on the most important and impactful ones. So let's start with Deem and DEX. Could you first explain what it means, what Deem and DEX basically are? But also, like, what kind of announcements have we seen at VMware Explore?
Sure. I think if you look at digital employee experience, or DEX, is certainly a new category, and it's a pretty hot category, especially post-pandemic, because we now have to make this a science. You can't just hand wave around employee experience. So DEX consists of three key parts. First is the experience part itself, which is like, how does the end user consume apps or services that IT delivers? That's the experience angle of it. And we deliver this through Workspace ONE Hub, Intelligent Hub, as you know. The next part of DEX is what is called DEM, Employee Experience Management. This is where all the data and the analytics and the data science come in. So essentially, looking at the experience from an analytical standpoint and taking corrective action. And then the third part of it is remediation. Okay, great. You've analyzed, you found out what the problem is. Now, do you remediate with automation? Do you remediate with scripts? Do you remediate with endpoint management? Or do you need a human to actually connect and solve the problem, right? So DEX is a collection of all of these different life cycles. And we look at it from not just physical laptops. We look at it from mobile devices. We look at it from virtual, of course, Horizon endpoints across the board. And even we announced support for earlier this year for third-party managed platforms, not just Workspace ONE managed platforms. And specifically at Explore, we've talked about all the innovation powered by data science around insights and playbooks. Those were the two big ones we announced.
So I think you just touched two really awesome announcements, insights and playbooks. Especially for us as an MSP partner, we deliver managed Workspace ONE to our customers. Insights and playbooks are huge. So what can you tell about insights and playbooks, and what value does it bring to customers?
So yeah, you brought up the concept of MSPs and you guys are really, really good partners, and it's good to think about the solution from that vantage point, right? So first of all, this is a data game. So the first baseline investments we're making is expanding our telemetry we collect, whether it's network telemetry, web app telemetry, additional telemetry from Android devices, in-guest session metrics from Horizon. So across the board, the first set of announcements were around the breadth of data we're collecting. And you and I know that just having the data doesn't do much good. You now have to analyze it. And this is where the Insights platform comes into picture. Earlier this year, we talked about our first generation of Insights, which uses time series data analysis to identify anomalies and help you take corrective action. Now we're taking to the next level, wherein we're now looking at seasonalities or patterns of data to avoid further reduce the number of false positives. We're also bringing in some machine learning-based prioritization frameworks that, because the system might have 25 different insights and not all of them are equally important. How do you prioritize which ones are important? Especially as an MSP, time is money for you. So you got to pick and choose the problems you solve. Great. So you got the data, you have the insights. Now you still have to take correct actions, right? So we had launched playbooks for specific problem areas, whether it was blue screen of death was a big problem area or app crash. So we said, hey, here are the five things you look at. Here is a structured way you go about it, and here's how you fix it. Now, we can only look at, we know about these problem categories, but you and the partner ecosystem might be, hey, this is a problem I run into on a day-to-day basis. How do you create your own playbooks? So what we have announced is what's called a playbook builder, so that you can create your own playbooks now for a specific problem you see. Now it helps you, again, further enhance the services you deliver to your customers with this playbook builder. So those are, at a high level, some of the things we've launched on the insights and the playbooks area.
Yeah, I think that's really awesome. And especially when having those amounts of data at your disposal to do anything with it, I think these are two perfect examples of how to actually use that data. Now, another feature I really like, and I liked since the beginning, I've been one of the lucky persons to be able to beta test it, is Freestyle Orchestrator. Now, you took Freestyle Orchestrator to a whole new level, and I saw some great demos of the new and improved version called the Unified Orchestrator. What can you tell our listeners about this new version, and what are the differences between Unified Orchestrator and Freestyle Orchestrator?
Sounds good. So we launched Freestyle Orchestrator more than a year back with focus on unified endpoint management workflow, specifically around things you do on the device, whether it's app sequencing, device onboarding, so on and so forth. We also had a specific automation framework that was running on top of our data lake. So based on data changes, I could run some automations. So our first step was to bring the same workflow language to both of these environments, both for Freestyle and UEM, as well as this automation. So essentially, we built this common, use the Freestyle language essentially to bring the two together. But these were still two separate execution systems. So I would go, if I wanted data-driven workflows, I'd do it in system A, and if I wanted endpoint-driven workflows, I'd do it in system B. That we all know is clunky. So we're bringing all this together. So we're in essentially the Unified Orchestrator, think of it as a canvas with all the sophisticated workflows with rollbacks and repeats and nested loops, all of that stuff. Now I can target any system. I can target UEM, I can target hub services, I can target Access, I can target Horizon, I can target intelligence data with just almost like there's one ring to rule them all kind of thing. One canvas that can now talk to all of these systems. And you can build the most wicked workflows that you want with this in place. So that's the exciting part of this Unified Orchestrator.
Now let's talk about one of those wicked workflows. Yes. Because one thing that really got me excited was the workflow that was shown, and a lot of demos were shown about it as well, around dropship provisioning. So yep. What can you explain about like dropship provisioning combination with Freestyle Orchestrator?
Sure. So first of all, we have taken this concept of dropship provisioning. Initially, it started off where just the OEMs like Dell, HP, Lenovo could do it. Then we brought our partner ecosystem around SHI and CDW and WWT. All of those folks can now deliver it. And then you've got the... now we are essentially making it do it yourself. MSPs, customers, anybody can now do it. So dropship workflow, it ties to our provisioning tool. So that was a big step. And dropship provisioning has its own canned workflows. But what we found was that people also needed to build some custom workflows inside of that. And that's where we are now enabling freestyle workflows to be pushed as part of the dropship provisioning workflows, so that to give further control and further customizability to that. So that's the demo you saw at Explore.
Yeah, wow. I think dropship provisioning by itself is a great solution. It shows real value of how onboarding experience should look like. And it's to be fairly honest, like quote, air quote, it's fairly simple to configure as well. And with such a minor setup, if you will, you bring great value to customers.
Yep.
Now, looking at dropship provisioning, it has been improved with tons of new features. Could you highlight some of them?
Sure. So first of all, it's getting a lot of attention and a lot of usage, as you mentioned, from our customers. So one of the things that people were struggling with was how do I do it for multiple devices? So we're now supporting bulk import. So I can now configure hundreds of devices in one shot. And we're also making the process of managing serial numbers easy within the process. We're adding now audit for dropship support. So a lot, adding not just flexibility, but also taking into account ease of use from an admin perspective to make the whole process simpler. So those are all some of the enhancements we have delivered on top of dropship provisioning.
Cool. Let's switch gears to devices a little bit. So of course, like dropship provisioning was be used to manage devices or to provision devices as well. But one of the, when focusing on devices, one of the things that really stood out at Explore, and I hardly can imagine that anyone has not seen this, but there was a huge announcement together with Intel around chip to cloud. So at ITQ, we developed a managed service around that prior to chip to cloud, where we used Intel vPro integration with Intel EMA to manage devices from the physical perspective as well. Now, chip to cloud promises something similar but better. So how is it different and what value does it add for customers?
No, great. First of all, thanks for being a great partner in this. You guys looked at it in the early stages and gave us some good feedback, so I really appreciate that. So what we're announcing is pretty groundbreaking from two fronts. First of all, we're making the whole setup of this integration between Intel, who's been a great partner, and us almost two clicks. You go to the console, it's a service-to-service things. You two clicks, and the integration is set up. No need to deploy additional agents or additional infrastructure in the backend to make this happen. So this whole process is pretty seamless to enable AMT, as Intel calls it, their specific technology on a variety of endpoints where this is available. And we've also thought through the brownfield scenario. It's not like just greenfield scenarios, where brownfield people who have existing Workspace ONE deployments can now turn this on. It's just basically you're pushing another profile. That's it. Think of it as like an extension of our MDM profile, as simple as that. The other big piece, and I can't reveal all of it, but I'll leave you with a little bit of a teaser, is that this has also built an interesting data pipe and connection with us, both at the edge as well as in the cloud. That's why it's called chip to cloud. So now we're starting off with some simple things like wake on LAN and remote power management and things like that. But stay tuned in Barcelona. We'll announce the next phase of this journey of how we sit on top of this chip to cloud technology and deliver even great value for our customers.
What kind of use cases do you see that could benefit from managing those devices from a physical perspective as well?
So I think the three big use cases or categories of use cases we have seen are around things like management, red light, and patch saturation. Getting to close to 100% patch saturation is everybody's dream. And so this will help with that. Remote management, especially when the operating system is not awake, you can now do things on that. And then the third big area, which is where we'll see a lot more announcements, is around security. So that's where we intend to take this.
So. Right, so VMware Explore 2023 in Barcelona is something we all should be looking forward to.
Absolutely, it's
awesome.
Close to where you are, so I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot closer than Vegas, obviously. So I'm not gonna enjoy the jet lag. Now, let's switch gears again and now talk a bit about one of your babies. So let's switch gears to the virtualization side of things. So first of all, Horizon with its platform continues to innovate and expands its roots to the entire cloud, if you will. But let's dive into Horizon on-prem first. So what are some of your favorite new features and improvements for Horizon on-prem?
Yeah, I'll take the Horizon 8 platform, which is, boy, it's such a stellar platform. We could do a two-hour podcast just on that, and I've been
involved. Let's do that.
So I'll start with some of the things we're doing, which is not common just to on-prem, but it's a key feature around remote experience, right? Like, and the protocol and remote experience, which is a big part of virtualization. You and I know that if you don't deliver a great desktop experience, everything else is a moot point, right? So that's where it starts. So first of all, our Blast protocol just continues to keep killing it in terms of just performance and efficiency, and we have done so many. I think it's safe to say, in terms of its the performance characteristics and efficiency characteristics, it has become, I mean, it's not an official benchmark, but it's probably the best in the industry. And I kudos to the team. We have some really interesting kind of confidential benchmarks we have run, and et cetera, that have just proven that. So just amazing work, and to support any kind of environments. Now, the remote experience that sits on top of that, we've done a lot of work with, of course, our GPU partners, with NVIDIA and with Intel. You probably saw some things around AV1 codec support, and we'll continue to expand that, our support of the GPU cards from these different vendors. Unified collaboration has been a great part of this too. So our goal is to have Teams and Zoom work as well as in a VDI environment as it does on a physical PC or a physical laptop. So to that effect, now blurring backgrounds, app sharing, doing a screenshot, and even delivering the, for instance, the Zoom optimized plugins so that the setup is easy, we're doing a lot of work on that. So that's all on the experience side. On the security side, really proud that now Horizon 8 has achieved the highest possible NIAP certification and common criteria certification to be run in the most secure environments. We're also adding additional capabilities to our forensics workflows. As you probably saw with instant clones, you can now run forensics workflows. We can now do selective hold on top of that. In our app virtualization area, improvements in session load balancing and fast reconnect, especially in areas like healthcare, where that access to that quick, the app has to be super quick, it'll help there. And then, of course, there are a lot of platform capabilities like hybrid AD support. vSphere 8 and vSAN 8 brings a lot of great capabilities. And Horizon 8 is going to sit on top of that and bring that too. So, again, like I said, I can keep talking about Horizon 8. I've just touched this surface, but there's just a ton of innovation going on, and you'll continue to see that roll through.
Though one I'd love to touch upon a little bit is what you mentioned. There's a GPU support now from Intel together with the AV1 codec.
Yep.
And especially when looking at the end-to-end stack of an Intel vPro or an Intel-based endpoint together with an Intel GPU, you can fully encode and decode AV1, which promises or shows actually a great user experience with a little bit less bandwidth consumption compared to the other codecs.
Yep.
So yeah, definitely to me personally, it's one of my favorite announcements, and I've been one of the lucky persons to have played around with the Intel GPU for the last 6 months. So couldn't be more excited about what's going to happen at Explore Barcelona around that as well.
Very cool.
Okay, so let's jump from on-prem Horizon 8 to the cloud. A lot of buzz was created around Horizon Cloud and hyperscaler support for Horizon. So what could you share about those announcements?
Yeah, so I'll start with our Horizon 8 customers and their cloud journey, right? So Horizon 8 customers now can choose from a variety of VMware cloud options, whether it's on AWS, whether it's on Azure, whether it's on Google, Oracle, and now Alibaba Cloud has also become a reality. So now you can pick for certain regions where that is a dominant cloud provider. It becomes an option there too. We've also added now security capabilities to our Edge Gateway. So Horizon 8 customers interested in consuming cloud services now have advanced RBAC capabilities so that the journey to the cloud for management services becomes easier. We're also working closely with the Amazon Workspaces team so that in these hybrid deployments, how do you make the setup of these two, Horizon 8 and Amazon Workspaces, much simpler? So that's those are all things specific to cloud, but with Horizon 8 as a platform. Now, talking about DAS and Horizon Cloud, of course, we've talked about Titan and the next-gen platform on top of Azure. One of the things we announced at Explore was the public preview of Windows 365 support. So now Titan can be layered on top of Windows 365 to bring the blast capabilities and app volumes capabilities to that. So it's a big piece. And the other key area that Titan enables is DR and kind of hybrid support, right? So if I'm an on-premises customer and I want to quickly spin up some capacity in Azure and kind of manage that capacity as though it's one entity, we showed, for instance, a demo of how easy it is to set up a DR site. Again, goes back to the vision of autonomous workspace, right? How do you make the workspace so simple and self-configuring in the sense that it doesn't matter where the capacity is being delivered from? So this hybrid support and the ease of that was another big area we're focused on.
Right. And when talking about AWS, I think one of the biggest announcements for me personally as well was the support for apps on demand or apps anywhere based on AppStream. What can you explain about the service?
Yeah, I mean, app volumes and apps on demand is, again, yet another. I mean, I can pick favorites among my babies, but every season there is one thing. And so apps, we talk about this. Hey, is this the year of the VDI? I was telling Kevin Goodman from AWS the other day, like, it's every year is the year of the apps because apps are is the holy grail that we're all going for. So just where do I start with app volumes? Boy, it's come a long way in the last 3-4 years, right, in terms of our 4.0 platform, which brought this single app management capabilities, app markers, apps on demand, and published apps on demand, which came on Horizon 8 first. And now we're extending it to Horizon Cloud and also bringing it to AVD and also AppStream. Amazon AppStream has been a great partner in that, right? So bringing this new modern way of, I like to think of it as like you're delivering now Windows apps like a SaaS app. You don't have to worry about when you launch a web application like Salesforce or Coupa or whatever, right? Do you really worry about, is this Salesforce 9.0 or Salesforce 10.0? No, you take it for granted. So Windows apps, that has never been the case. Now with this technology, you can bring you don't have to worry about, this is not patched in this environment, right? Always deliver the latest elastic scaling with the on-demand approach. And now bringing it to every platform, including Citrix. So we've got Horizon support, Citrix support, AVD, Amazon, AppStream. Now the big app volumes, as you know, was always focused on the instant clones or the stateless desktops. Now we're breaking that model. Now why can't we bring app volumes to persistent desktops? Because the world has a lot more persistent desktops than stateless desktops. Now, whether it's Windows 365 or whether it's Amazon Workspaces, or just persistent desktops running on Horizon and Citrix, app volumes becomes fair game. So the huge innovations, and we're also thinking about it from an entire app lifecycle perspective, right? About we're working with partners like Remo3 and others to take care of the testing, which we don't take care of personally, but by working with them from an IT setup perspective, we can look at the holistic workflow.
Yeah, one thing you just mentioned, which really stood out to me, is that you explained that you can basically run it on top of anything.
Yep.
I visited the Disrupt EUC conference in Munich earlier this year, and that was the exact same message. So there were other vendors on stage presenting about their added value and just talking about, like, I am vendor X, I am the best at this, or I am vendor I, I'm the best at this. What really stood out of the messaging around apps on demand is that VMware doesn't care where it runs. We just bring value to the existing platform and maybe reduce the number of hosts you need to run those apps, or maybe speed up the delivery or do something else. And I think that messaging really, really resonates well with especially with the customers that I spoke with so far. So, yeah, big up to the AppVolumes team for making this work. And talking about AppVolumes, one announcement that was again one of my favorites. I had a lot of favorites, but this I did a lot of work with so far with managing virtual desktops using UEM. And one of the challenges by doing that is always when looking at the delivery of applications, you basically deliver them using UEM, which requires a full installation. Now, AppVolumes will get support for full clones. What can you tell about that?
Yeah, so I think this is the concept of what I said now with persistent desktops, right? That which is the full clones is the technology that enables that. Now, yeah, we are completely breaking the model. So at this point in time, you don't have to be in this instant clones floating desktop scenario. I could go to any traditional use case, and potentially at some point in time, even a physical machine, if you think about it, is kind of like a persistent desktop, right? So that's we are announcing that in beta, and again, that will support multiple platforms. It doesn't matter what your brokering platform is; we'll bring it to all of those. And now, if you think about managing that image and the other applications with our UEM platform itself, so you have a full-blown solution for policy management, security management, as well as app management. So really exciting times.
Awesome. Now, one of the things that stood out from Explore is that no session or no keynote or no nothing is complete without talking about AI. Now, I did some research, and on the website of VMware, you can find a couple of projects where AI is involved or where AI is the main part of the project. And one of the projects I found was Project Oakville, which focuses on the EUC side of things. So what can you explain about the project and how does VMware AI offer a benefit for EUC?
Sure. So, I mean, yeah, first of all, the project names are kind of intentionally kept uninteresting. So I'm not a big fan of Oakville, but anyway, it is a project name for what it is. But under the covers, a lot of exciting stuff. And like you said, look, AI has caught us all by storm. We talked about autonomous workspace well before generative AI. So we had already talked about that. So for us, we see AI at large helping us towards this vision of autonomous workspaces. Some of the things we have launched with root cause analysis and insights we talked about in DEX is already leveraging a lot of AI, albeit what we call predictive AI, using numbers and time series data. Now, if you introduce generative AI, which is more about text and content, what can we do? So we're looking at it both short-term and long-term, right? First of all, we want all of this to be aligned with our vision of autonomous workspace. We don't want to start yet another thing with this. So still continue, but just go faster. And we want to be super responsible about, we deal with large enterprises, as you know, Johan. So we've got to be very sensitive to the data that we use and the privacy aspects of it, and also the mission critical workflows that we enable. If like in a hospital using an EMR, we can't use AI, cannot crash the system or bring some negative behavior into that. So we have to be very responsible. Now, with that in mind, we talked about a few short-term use cases. Like scripting. Scripting is a common thing in the UEM world, in the DEX world, and even in the Horizon world. So we looked at the common workflow and say, hey, people have to write this Windows PowerShell script for me that looks at all devices with this particular serial number and has this operating system version and then do this action. It took people like hours to write that kind of a script with the right efficacy and without any bugs, right? Now, with natural language, I can write that script in 30 seconds. And then I have a mechanism to test it locally, validate it, give it thumbs up, thumbs down, and be done with it. That's a pretty simple use case that we can enable. And another piece that we saw use cases for was around learning about something and deploying. Let's take mobile threat defense, or even this app volumes for full clone support or persistent desktop support. Hey, I'm interested in it. How do I go about it? Just ask our assistant, hey, I'd love to know app volumes on persistent desktop. It'll go read TechZone articles, our documentation, and all that stuff. Still public domain, none of, and then tell you, hey, this is what it does. Here is step 2 and 3 for you, right? So that's an area we're going to look into. The last one that we're exploring that people really loved in the advisory board sessions we shared was summarizing your environment. Hey, tell me all the great things that have happened in my environment in the last 2 weeks. Like you shut down 30 hacker attacks, or your employee experience score went up from X to Y, or you did this, you rolled out a new patch, your app adoption rate. We like to think that IT and MSPs like you do a ton of good work, but you don't have the time to go create a nice fancy PDF presentation of that, right? What if AI could do that? So that's another use case we're looking at as well.
Ooh, I'm looking forward to that. Now, this is one of the most awesome things of the entire list of stuff that you mentioned, but it's impossible to cover everything, but do you think that we missed anything?
Yeah, so look, I think we covered a lot of ground, and we talked about, like you said, all my babies, so it's good, but I also want to call out two other babies. Feels like I'm supporting a lot of
family. Huge family.
Exactly. So the work we're doing on the identity side, right? Like it's kind of this unsung hero, because we've now done some great work with identity services and brokering and Skim 2.0 support. So we built a new identity brokering platform that works with any IDP, Okta, AAD, Ping, anybody. So there's a ton of good work of enabling some new workflows through that. And then the other piece of technology also is a lot of the network security enhancements that our Tunnel team has delivered, right? Like now making it available not just on desktop platforms, but unmanaged desktop platforms too. So enabling this whole zero trust network architecture has been so two other callouts I'd love to make on that front.
Awesome. Now, before I let you go, I have one final question. This show is called the Unexplored Territory Podcast, and as a technologist, you get to work with the newest technologies. As you know, there is a lot of unexplored territory in technology. So which emerging technologies get you excited and would interest our listeners as well?
Yeah, sure. So of course, we talked about the obvious one around AI, right? Like data and AI, we spent a lot of time, and I'm super excited about those, and there's a ton of potential. But I'll talk about another one, right? Because AI is the easy answer. If you're not excited about AI, you shouldn't be on this planet, right, at this point in time, whether you like it or not. But I'll talk about...
Is it blockchain?
No, that was interesting, but I'll talk about this. It's not a new concept, but I'm excited about this. Is this Workspace ONE marketplace, right? I'll tell you. There's a saying that every superhero needs a good sidekick, so it's kind of like that, right? Every platform needs a good sidekick as well. And if you think about iTunes, great device, you needed iTunes to go with it. iPhone, App Store, right? Apple has been, Salesforce had AppExchange. Workspace ONE and Horizon, great platforms, a lot of great things. I'm really excited about what we're doing in the Workspace ONE marketplace side. A lot of what we're delivering is now available. It's again making life easy for people. It's not the coolest thing that have been marketplaces, but it's all about the value we're delivering. So I'm really excited about where we're going with the Workspace ONE marketplace. And one of the things we're going to think about is community contributions. So now we curate and put content there. Now imagine, as an MSP, you probably write a ton of scripts and ton of dashboards and everything. What if you could contribute back to the marketplace and make it available at a broader sale, at some point in time monetize it as well? So I'm looking forward to that, the next five-year journey of how we build another business on top of Workspace ONE marketplace as well.
So. Awesome. That gets me even more excited. Well, Bharath, thanks so much for a very interesting episode. Looking forward to what's happening at Explore EU. And I hope to get you back as a guest in the show to talk about those announcements as well.
Awesome, Johan. I really enjoyed our chat as usual, and look forward to being here again. I'll see you soon as well. So.
And that's it. We've reached the end of another episode of the Unexplored Territory podcast. If I have to summarize today's episode, then my key takeaway would be that VMware continues to innovate in the UC space and has brought the Autonomous Workspace North Star closer with solutions like Deem, Unified Orchestrator, and Apps Anywhere. Again, thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and rate the podcast where possible. If you have any feedback, send us a message on X on @unexploredpod. I would like to thank our guest Bharath for a fantastic episode.